Hey, how you doing? It's Justin.
Awesome, Justin.
Thanks so much for agreeing to chat with me. I really appreciate it.
Of course, my pleasure.
Yeah, I met you at the that turtles gathering in Michigan, and been meaning to follow up to do this. We've just been busy, but thanks so much again. I was hoping to talk to about turtles and also about Red Sonja as well. So
Okay.
I'll save you the the unpleasantries of asking you the usual questions about how you got involved with the Turtles and how you went from being in Donatello to playing Kino. But I was sort of hoping to sort of start out and ask you about actually wearing the actual Donatello suit. Like, you went to Henson Studios in London, right? I mean, did they fit you for it, or did they mold it to your body?
Yeah, I flew out to London to Jim Henson's workshop out there, and they did a full, body cast of me. So everything was, in terms of form fitting, it was definitely my suit was definitely, and the parts of it of the suit were definitely molded to my body structure. So I mean, as uncomfortable and cumbersome as it was. On the inside, it was, perfectly fitted.
Sure.
So.
Well, I saw a photo of you today online. I was looking, just doing some research, and I found a photo of you with the suit on without the actual head on. And I mean, damn, you look so young. I mean, I know
Yeah.
by then you had been doing stunt work and the martial arts almost your entire life, but I mean, looking back at how young you were, you seem to be so sort of fearless and gutsy.
Oh yeah, well, I appreciate that. It was a great time. I mean, I had been growing up and making martial arts films and television shows, and it was kind of like the first time away from home as well, because it was in between the summer of my junior and senior year of high school that we filmed that. So I was like 17, I
Wow.
think, at the time, and I was having a ball. It was like the coolest thing to be part of, and I was just at that age where I was kind of, exploring the world by myself and not having a parent around, and working on this cool movie and Hong Kong Stuntman and Golden Harvest and all those crazy things that I had kind of grown up with. So
Right.
it was really awesome.
And doing the physical movements, the fight stuff in the suit, like as a martial artist, I mean, having to wear that suit, but also more challenging aspect of it, that the head of the costume not be able to see very well. I mean, does that do anything to you? Like, throw off your hand-eye coordination, or any way does it make it more difficult to do the physical moves as a martial artist?
I mean, you just have to. I think that when you're kind of, you can't really see, and your body dimensions are different than what they normally would be, doing any kind of movement, you kind of start to just have to rely on feel versus like seeing things and kind of knowing where you're at and where your body's at. But I mean, it was definitely not easy work, working 12, 14 hours a day in the suit, North Carolina, middle of the summer, 100% humidity. It was definitely a lot of hard work, but I mean, I was also having a great time. And, like, the doing martial arts with for Hong Kong stuntman was the first time that they were really brought Hong Kong stuntman onto a U.S. production.
Right.
So that was kind of, for me as a martial artist, I'm like, wow, these are the people that are, working with Jackie Chan and the people who will make legendary kung fu films.
Yeah.
So it was very super cool.
Sure. And I was speaking of the sort of Hong Kong stuntmen, like I had talked to Leif Tilden a while back, and he had mentioned about sort of the sort of strenuous conditions that the sort of the stuntmen weren't necessarily weren't sort of treated as well as they probably should have been by today's standards. I mean, what are your thoughts on that?
I don't know. I mean, it was definitely hard work. But I don't know. I don't know about that. I think that they did a great job, and it made the martial arts, those Hong Kong guys and that kind of thought process in terms of action sequences and design, I think really helped bring the reality of the turtles, you know, and their crime fighting antics to real life. And I think they did a great job.
Yeah, and you, I mean, you choreographed some of the fight stuff, right, in the first and the second movies, did you not?
Yeah, pretty much. Pat Johnson was a stunt coordinator, and we pretty much got to do whatever we wanted to do. And they had four guys who were really able and, you know, come into the situation. This is what's going to happen. Here's going to be the split plan. This is what this, and you kind of just design it and, you know, show it to the Pat and see if he liked it. And pretty much everything that we created, he loved. And so, yeah, it was very cool to be able to do that, you know, and go create your character through the choreography as well.
I mean, looking back now, do you think that you would have done something? I mean, it's really ambitious, but I mean, all the years that have since then, looking back, do you think you'd have done anything different or tried to make it more ambitious?
Oh, you mean like moving forward? Like
yeah, it, yeah. I mean, like, you know, there's something like the rundown, right, versus what's in the turtles. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you always kind of figure, well, you know, at the time period and the tones of the films, you know, kind of also dictated the choreography.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even from the first and second one, it kind of went a little bit more action comedy.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it kind of depends, but I think, you know, with the Turtle universe as a whole, there's definitely endless possibilities of what you can do in terms of action to keep kind of reinventing what they do,
mm-hmm.
because, you know, we haven't seen everything yet.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I saw an interview where you talked, I think it was something on YouTube. It was, you talked about how much of an influence Bruce Lee was on you as a kid. And I mean, how much of an influence do you think, like martial arts films in general have had on Western culture in terms of kids who grew up in the 80s or 90s that decided, you know, they saw like Turtles or they saw like, the, you know, the canon films, ninja movies or Karate Kid or whatever, and just went out to pursue a study of martial arts. Do you think that it's helped to keep martial arts alive in the U.S. over the years?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely think, you know, the films that have come out of, you know, Hollywood and, you know, Asia, and the fandom that, you know, they've received since in the 60s. I think, you know, up until now, this point, like, martial arts is something that's known amongst, you know, the masses of people. It's not this kind of esoteric thing where, you know, nobody's ever done it and there's just a small group of people who, like, you know, there are more kids doing martial arts than there are playing football and baseball.
Right.
I know that there's over about 20 million practitioners, and generally the majority of those are kids. And so when you see martial arts schools in your local neighborhood, those are geared and catered towards kids. And I think that, you know, all the martial arts films, starting with really with Bruce Lee in America, you know, and inspiring that generation, and then having things like Ninja Turtles and Power Rangers and, you know, all of the stuff to current stuff, mm-hmm. like Disney's Kicking It, and, you know, definitely martial arts has, I think, made an impact, you know, in society in a positive way, giving people ideas about things and training and discipline and respect and things like that that we all need to work on. So that's, I think, a positive thing.
Do you think that Hollywood is in any way like sort of? I mean, it's. I was thinking about this today, and it's like the martial arts movies that I grew up on, you know, or the, you know, like I was a huge fan of Bruce Lee too, and you know, think about the sort of poetics of the Game of Death fights, you know, like the fighting with him and Chuck Norris and him and Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, mm-hmm. just the single sort of, you know, there's only like the master shot and then a couple close-ups, and you know, and today we have these video MTV movie fast cutting that sort of, to me, they almost diminish the ballet of martial arts. I mean, do you have any thoughts on that? Terms of what it's,
I think that I think that generally speaking, when you're looking at a martial arts film, you know, if you can stay wide the majority of the time, mm-hmm. and let the action breathe, and you can actually see that the person the actor there is actually doing the movements, and it's not so close and so tight that it's covering up and hiding what maybe the actor can't perform.
Mm-hmm.
I think that that's the greatest way to watch a martial arts movie, from Kurosawa to, you know, Jackie Chan and Bruce Lee.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they didn't need to cut in tight to cover up, you know, an actor's stunt double or something like that. So to me, a true martial arts film, you know, is able to do that because the fight scenes should be done by people who, you know, are the highest level when it comes to, like, martial arts performance.
Right. Yeah, yeah. I just rewatched Turtles 2 the other day, and I came in preparation to talking to you, and I came across a magazine article online from Starlog magazine of April of 91, and it had an interview with the Turtles screenwriter Todd Langdon. And he said about Kino, he said, "Kino is an excellent martial artist, but he has an attitude problem. He likes to fight, maybe a little too much." And so I wanted to see if that was how you went into the part of Kino for Turtles 2. Because in reviewing the film again, I've seen it in a long time, but I don't see Kino as having any particular sort of attitude. How did you decide to approach the character going in?
I don't know. I think it's, you know, typical teen angst.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that, you know, like even Raphael, you know, has that kind of thing. I think that with Kino, he's, you know, ambitious to be something, and at the same time, he's a 15, 16-year-old kid, you know, so, you know, it's definitely in the writing, right from the scene of with the scooter and the girl, that, mm-hmm. you know, the guy's mindset is in a certain place.
Right.
I think it worked perfectly for, you know, a teenage character playing alongside of four Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Right. Going
you gotta have some teen angst. You gotta have some teen angst around that. You gotta have some attitude problems.
Right.
And if you don't at 15 years old, there's probably something wrong.
Going into Turtles 2, I mean, was it the sort of, you know, like the usual, typical, you know, Hollywood mantra, which is like, we want a sequel to make more money than the first film, but we also want this film to be shot for half the budget of the first. I mean,
one more time, I'm sorry.
You know, sometimes when they make sequels, you know, they want the film to make more money than the first, but they want to shoot it on a budget that's half of the first film. I mean, was that,
sure.
What was the sort of, what was the sort of production like on Turtles 2 versus the sort of production of Turtles 1?
I think it definitely grew in size. You know, I mean, on Turtles 1, it still felt like we were making a big movie because you had these great, you know, creatures, you know, mm-hmm. from Jim Henson, and all of the people that it took to bring those characters to life were top notch. So, I mean, you always felt like this is something major. Because, you know, you're looking and you're watching the turtles and you're seeing how right in front of your face, and you're like, this is awesome. This is something that we haven't seen before. But it was always, you know, you definitely were making a smaller version of a big movie. I think the budget was something around $13 million or something for the original one.
Mm-hmm.
But by the second one, I think it definitely kind of grew in size, you know. I think that they definitely, you know, made the tone, of course, a little lighter.
I know it was kicked around, like, you know, that the producers or Golden Harvest or whoever wanted you to come back for part three, but that you were tied up with Surf Ninjas. But I mean, did you ever find out exactly what their intentions were regarding your return? I mean, would you have come back in the suit, or would you have been another character, maybe a villain or something? I mean, what did you ever find out what was the sort of to be?
No, I didn't know. I don't think that it. You know, after the success of the second one, which,
mm-hmm.
you know, it did well. I don't think that it would have brought me back as a different character, but I was, you know, working with New Line, developing what became Surf Ninjas at the time, and that they went into production. But I don't really recall any kind of formal offer that I had to turn down because I was working on something else.
Gotcha. I love that one particular fight sequence in Turtles 2 where Kino is kicking one of the Foot Clan, and I believe the foot catches Kino's foot, and there's that pause, and Kino waves his hand back and forth. It reminds me of I think it's in Enter the Dragon where Bruce Lee stops to taste his own blood. And I mean, was that some sort of Bruce Lee homage that you were throwing in there?
Oh yeah, I mean, pretty much, you know, my entire career, it's always been a Bruce Lee homage to some degree. Maybe a little Jackie Chan in there as well. I mean, those guys are the greats, you know. So I definitely, you know, since a small child, you know, I was emulating Bruce Lee, even as a martial artist in my day-to-day training. So there's always a hint of Bruce Lee there.
Were you around for the shooting of the Vanilla Ice sequence? What was that whole thing like?
Yeah, I was. Yeah, it was always pretty surreal at the time when I look back at it, you know. Like I said, I was 18 years old, now the second one. Back, you know, in North Carolina for the second summer in a row. And, you know, the first movie was this huge success. There was Turtle Mania, kids were being found in manholes in New York, and you know, I mean, it was something spectacular, and so going into the second film was, you know, everybody was, I think, feeling pretty good about being part of something so cool.
Nice. And what did you think of the most recent Michael Bay Turtles movie?
I think that they did a good job. I think that, you know, it's tough to be in that situation where you have something that's so beloved by so many people. And they have a, you know, there's going to be a general kind of opinion about the way that things should be and the way that things should be done. And then you want to have the freedom to kind of use your imagination and maybe take it to a place that it's never been before.
Sure.
And you have a whole new generation of young people who are going to grow up with the Turtles that aren't in their mid-30s. You know, so, I mean, I think that they did a good job in balancing all that out, where everybody went away going, yeah, it's great to see them back, you know, on the screen. And they look a little different, this or that, or whatever, but it doesn't, I mean, it doesn't really matter. I think that they did a good job in something that could have, you know, been a disaster potentially.
Yeah, I mean, I thought the film was real fun, and it seems like, you know, there's just one of those things where it could impossible to live up to the expectations.
And I think that they did a great job, and I think that they created an awesome world to make, you know, two more films. And I'm excited to see what they're going to do with that. And
Yeah,
the
sure.
great news is we get to see another Turtles film.
Yeah. And then, so I'm dying to know because I'm a huge fan of Red Sonja. So, how did Red Sonja come to you? Was it shot right after The Last Dragon?
Was shot right after The Last Dragon. And they were having auditions, and I went in there. It was at the Beverly Hills Hotel, and Dino De Laurentiis was there. And, you know, it's like I was 12 years old at the point that time. But it was like I just felt like you were feeling like you're in that classic Hollywood moment, and you got a movie mogul in Dino De Laurentiis, and you're going to this private bungalow at the Beverly Hills Hotel, and you're auditioning. And so, you know, I read the scenes, and they brought me back, like, I think, two or three times, you know, and they liked that I did martial arts, so that I think kind of changed maybe some of the way that my character initially might have been imagined in the ensemble of everybody else, but, yeah, and then we got it, and, I mean, that was maybe one of my most favorite just growing up movie-making time periods. We were out in Italy, you know, for 5 months, you know, riding horses every day on a country hillside with Richard Fleischer, who was like classic
Oh,
Hollywood
yeah.
director, where it was just like, everything was like out of a movie, you know, and the sets were huge. Like, they really built the castle, you
Yeah.
know, it was like really amazing.
Yeah, it's crazy.
And you know, it's a completely Italian crew, and it was just awesome. But yeah, and then, you know, I was obviously a fan of Arnold already,
Right.
just because my dad was, you know, into fitness and that kind of stuff. And so,
So,
Yeah,
but
so.
you—I mean, you had been working so hard up to that point as a martial artist. I mean, but where? I mean,
Yes.
one of the things I go back and watch Red Sonja, and if I look past the martial arts, I see a really good actor. I mean, where do you think that interest in acting comes from? I mean, Prince Tan is
Yeah.
a little firecracker, right? Don't call him a boy.
Yes.
So I mean, like,
Yeah.
but where does that? I mean, you're a great actor. People often forget, you know, they think you're a martial arts badass, but you're a great actor too. So I mean, where do you think
Thank
that
you. I
acting
appreciate
comes
that.
from? Where do you think the interest in
You know,
acting comes from?
well, I think it still comes back to Bruce Lee, in terms of like, you know, being a young kid and seeing that like it was not just about like martial arts like in real life, but it was the performance aspect of it. But you know, I never wanted to be a badass actor, that's for sure. So I kind of, you know, and I had been performing like live shows with my dad prior to breaking into the industry. And when we would travel, we would do kind of like skits, you know. And this is all in front of live audiences, which is a completely different reality than like doing a film or a television show when it comes to entertaining people. So, you know, I had a lot of live audience, you know, experience in terms of performing, and a lot of the skits that I would do with my dad were kind of like comedic based. So, you know, I think that that's where that really comes from. And then over time, you know, I always wanted to just, you know, be the best actor that I possibly could be, so.
And then, of course, no conversation about Red Sonja or Prince Tan would be appropriate without a mention of Paul Smith. And so, what are
Yes,
your memories
yep.
of Paul Smith?
Paul Smith, it was, I mean, that's another, you know, huge moment just working side by side with him. And, you know, I wasn't really at 12. I think that I might have been aware of Midnight Express, but you definitely felt like you were in the presence of an actor. You know, so I had a lot of these things at a very early age kind of shaped my, you know, thinking. Even with, you know, being around working with somebody like Richard Fleischer, it's like, here's a master director. Then you have Paul Smith. He's like a master actor. I mean, you know, the guy's just a booming presence, you know? And so that was an amazing time period because, you know, I had all my scenes with him, and that kind of, you know, as an actor, as a young kid, I mean, it was great to be able to play with him in that way, and, you know, in our relationship, and it was a lot of fun. And it was, I mean, I have awesome memories of him and his wife.
Was a lot of that stuff, I mean, was all that stuff scripted out between you and him, or is there any improv going on there?
There was probably more improv on his part than mine. Yeah, I definitely, he's definitely a live actor. You remember now what you get, you know, in the moment, so that's good.
What do you remember about shooting that first sequence with you and Paul Smith, or Prince? The Prince is stuck on that sort of giant rotating hand.
Yeah, I mean, it was, again, that was a set, you know. It wasn't green screened or anything. There's that. We were there. It's sitting on this gigantic hydraulic hand that moves around, and I mean, it was like, you know, it's like you really are. And being a kid, it's like you really are transported into a different time and place. You know, you're like, this really does feel like Conan, you know. But it was, yeah, it was. I mean, all my memories on Red Sonja really were awesome. I mean, it was just such a great experience. It was like Italian movie magic, and like Arnold Schwarzenegger and Bridget Nielsen and like Paul Smith, and it was awesome.
I mean, how was she to work with? How was Brigitte to work with this? I mean, she was completely new to film at this time. She had not even done a film. Like you had more experience than her at this point.
She was great. I mean, from my perspective, you know, I mean, she was young, you know, I think she was like 19 or 20 years old at the time, and full of life and just having fun and joking around all the time. And I mean, it was great. I mean, I thought, you know, outside of the movie making and the acting scenes and all that, just as a person or whatever, she was just coming, you know, out of modeling into this thing, and, you know, was a star of this movie. And Which is super cool.
So, I mean, but there's the line where Prince sort of hits on Red Sonja, right? I mean, as a kid, did you get what was going on there at the time?
Oh yeah, I was like, "Are you kidding me? I have a 6-foot-2 model having her arms wrapped around me. This is the greatest scene ever. Can we actually keep filming this scene?"
Well, and you got a kiss out of her too, right? You can't beat that.
I don't know about the kiss part. I can't
Yeah,
recall
she
that.
kisses you on the cheek, I think, at a point.
Cheek.
So, yeah.
I do remember asking her to be my queen.
Yes. One of the things, I mean, it's crazy. It's like I watched the film again yesterday, and God, there's that big fight scene between her and Arnold and Sonya and Arnold. It's the greatest metaphorical sex scene ever put on in a fantasy film, you know? I mean, I'm like watching it, and I'm like, Jesus. I'm like, they're like going at it, you know? It's like they need cigarettes after the end of
That's funny. Hello? Hello?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I think you
Oh,
cut out there.
sorry about that. I saw. What did I mean? Did you witness the whole sword thing? Were you there for that? I mean.
Yeah, no, it was awesome. I mean, it was, I mean, I was in fantasy land myself the whole time, I mean, but yeah, I was there. We had a fight scene. I jump on his back and try to rescue her from him at one point.
Did you get to spend much time with him? I mean, it must have been thrilling.
And so, yeah, oh yeah. I mean, Arnold would work out, and I was pretty much working out too. And my dad would go like lift afterwards, and have dinner and stuff together, and it was great. We got to spend lots of time. It was amazing. He had given me a VHS copy of a movie at one point, and he told my dad and I that this is a movie that he had just finished, and it's going to be coming out this summer, so around Christmas time. And so my dad and I took the VHS tape back to our hotel and popped it in, and up comes Terminator, and I was just like blown away. I was like,
Nice.
holy shit, this is the coolest thing ever.
You're like Arnold.
So,
You're 12, right? So you're like Arnold. Nice naked ass.
I mean, but like that was like, I don't know. I think like, at that time period, he'd done the Conan movies, pumping iron, that kind of thing, but like wasn't, mega action star. But, when I saw Terminator, I was like, holy shit, that's a cool movie.
That was it, yeah. What do you remember about the sequence where all the characters are in the pool and it's the best name for a monster ever, right? The killing machine. Like with that Godzilla like water thing. What do you remember about shooting that sequence?
That was another fun for me. I mean, the water was warm, and this thing would fill up, so the stage would do that. And then when it had to go underwater, the stage, I mean, would drop down, and basically water would flood into this thing. And I was like being in like a little jacuzzi, It's like, this is great. I was swimming around, having fun. I mean, it was awesome. I mean, but it was pretty incredible to see, that kind of, like I said, movie magic, that's now done in, a much more sophisticated way. But these were all like kind of practical special effects, which was really cool.
Well, I love the prince's reaction to that thing. I mean, did Fleischer give you that sort of direction, or was that just you reacting to seeing this giant thing?
I think that was just I think that was just my reaction to seeing the killing machine.
The best line in that scene after 5 minutes of trying to fight it, Arnold's like, "I can't kill it. It's a machine." After five minutes of fighting it, you know. I mean, I mean, how do you think the film? I mean, how do you think it holds up all these years later? I mean, certainly, you know, it's a film of its time. You can see the matte shots in it really, really well. But I mean, like, it's still a fun film. Like, I mean, how do you think it sort of ranks up there in terms of the sort of 80s action fantasies of the era, of that era?
That's a good question. I'm not sure. I think that the people that love it, love it, and some people think it sucks. So it's
As a kid, though, I mean, if you were in something like that and you heard of bad reviews, I mean, what did that sort of do to you as an actor? Did that affect you in any possible way?
I don't know. I mean, I'm sure it did at some point. You know what I mean? It's hard not to, especially being young and not really having a perspective of like what it's all about, and, you know, that kind of thing. Yeah, but I mean, yeah, I'm sure it did. But you know, I probably shrugged my shoulders at a certain point.
Yeah. I just have two more for you.
I think I was more upset that it didn't really make a lot of money at the box office.
Yeah, it kind of
bombed, you know.
Yeah, it's. I'm always disappointed that Brigitte never got naked. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah,
would have made it. That would have made the box office. All right.
That
anyways,
made the box office.
Two more questions for you. Top all five right. martial arts films.
Uh-oh. Top five martial arts films. Good question. Top five. No particular order.
Okay.
I have to say, Enter the Dragon.
Mm-hmm.
Chinese Connection,
mm-hmm.
Game of Death. I liked Super Cop.
Mm-hmm.
Operation Condor.
Nice. Okay, cool. And is that? Yeah. Okay. And then what? So are you still? I know you're not. You said. I mean, I've read the interviews where you say you're not actively pursuing acting anymore. But I mean, you're still doing the charity stuff. Are you? I mean, you've directed a film. You've did the comic book. I think. I mean, you're still training and teaching. I'm assuming. So what can we?
Yeah.
Promote. What can we plug for you?
February 23rd.
Mm-hmm.
Guest star on NCIS LA.
Nice.
That's 10 p.m. 9 Central. Monday night on CBS.
Awesome.
February 23rd.
Cool. Thanks so much, man. I appreciate it.
All right.
It's been a pleasure. And I'll...
Thanks, Justin.
Yep. Take care.